The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat Podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ozarski take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome in. Latest edition of the BBP. It's the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by 50 West Brewing Company. As always, William Jr., Jim Ozarski, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer, Inquirer Bengals app. We're in all the places. ENQ Bengals on Instagram.
We are racing Joe Mixon to 900,000 followers.
Yeah.
Although
he's
we need a little bit of a head start on us. We need 899,000 more followers.
But
go get it. Like it.
Like it. Push it out there. We're gonna take him down.
Yeah. What if we gave away a Lindsey Patterson signed Venmo thing?
Receipt? Are there receipts?
I don't know.
I get a PayPal receipt, but I've not gotten Venmo. I don't do the Venmo. It's possible that that could get us some followers.
Yeah.
Camp is getting closer to wrapping up, honestly, because
this is a fast week, man.
It is. Game week now. Bears on Thursday night at PBS. So maybe you will get your first chance to see this new team, even though it's the same team. New, same, old, different, but the same guys. A lot has happened since we last talked, so we have a lot to get to. There's news. Everyone is now off the PUPs and NFIs.
Yeah.
That includes Vontaze Burfict, who came off on Monday. Brandon LaFell is no longer on the team.
That happened.
He was let go not too long after last week's BBP. It wasn't quite emergency BBP worthy.
Nah.
Like, if he's not quite a big enough a name, and it wasn't quite a surprise. Certainly anyone who's listened to this knows that wasn't a surprise. Maybe the timing of it was a little surprising.
Yeah.
But the fact that it needed to happen was not.
No.
So we said, this is not an emergency. This is just a piece of news. So that happened. Billy Price continued to screw up a bunch of snaps.
Yeah.
That became a big thing at the mock game.
Right.
What else was in the news? Clearing out Tyler Eifert being back in a full participant. They held him out of the mock game, but he's done everything else, has been in the news. So a lot of that stuff is going on. So what we're going to do today is, you know, we'll probably touch on a lot of those news nuggets that we just mentioned as we go through this, but I want to do our three biggest concerns and three most pleasant surprises thus far through camp, and mostly using as a look ahead to what's important to be keeping an eye on as the preseason games start, because the whole perspective will change dramatically when it gets to the real thing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the receivers, which has been a big deal. We got three questions from you guys. Appreciate it, everybody that has sent those in. So we'll do our three questions. We'll do Mad Happy, and we will try to get to as much of that as we can. And again, remind everybody, we're doing Instagram Lives at the beginning of practice every single day, where we kind of run through some of the stuff I stretch and make Jim uncomfortable. but you can check those, ENQ Bengals on Instagram. So you can follow along and you'll get to see those. We've got our stories, have all kinds of behind-the-scenes stuff. We're posting photos of interesting things throughout the day. Our photographers are giving some of their favorite photos in there. So there's lots of good stuff up on our Instagrams. We're trying to build up Beat Joe Mixon to 600,000.
Yeah.
We can do it. We can do it. He's got a little head start on us, him and his people.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it then. Do you want to start with optimism or pessimism?
It always drifts into pessimism. Optimism.
So you just want to start there?
No, I say we start with the optimism.
Knowing we'll immediately start getting
basically
negative.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. There's not a silver lining around every cloud. There's just like a dark lining around every cloud. I don't know.
You just see clouds.
Yeah, it's just clouds.
You're just a cloud guy. That's all there's to it. All right. Well, then let's try to start optimistically and give me your most pleasant surprise.
My most pleasant surprise, I'm going to go with, God, people are going to hammer me for this. I'm so pro quarterback. Andy Dalton looks good.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that should be a surprise, the weight they put on him in the preseason, the whole, like, Andy's got, he's in his prime, he's 30. I don't know. I mean, I on one hand, you should say he should look good. He's 8 years in. He's in his prime. All those things, right? But I guess new offense, new terminology, some new number two and three receivers 6 days into camp. I don't know. I think he's looked sharp.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been his best camp.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen all of them.
Yes.
And who knows, comparing across.
Right.
I mean, I mean,
it's definitely his best since I got here, since 15. So the last two, I mean, it's definitely better than what we've seen the last two summers.
Yeah. He's also not been touched because he can't.
Right.
So,
but he's not doing the 1, 2, 3, duck my shoulder because somebody's already there thing.
Yeah.
In his own training camp.
Correct. No, correct. He is getting chased by Carl Lawson a whole lot.
Yeah.
But that's not new. You know, the efficiency he showed with the deep ball, it does look, at least at first glance, that they may have made some strides in that area. That he may be starting to get that fixed a little bit.
I guess I think that's a pleasant surprise because it was, to me, Paul, it was a question. When you talk about this is the first time he's done any of this since his rookie year.
Yeah.
People kind of forget that. Like, he's been running the same thing since 2011.
When you have new stuff, you've got to figure out. We talked a lot about the thing you wanted was for it to look smooth. Was to not see guys falling behind. Was to not have the typical new system issues. And I think Dalton, on top of being sharp as a passer, you haven't seen as much of that because I think he's done a good job of keeping guys in the right place and all of that stuff.
Right.
And now, with Brandon LaFell not being here anymore, he's officially the oldest player on offense. And as he told me this week, that's not going to change anytime soon. Yeah.
Right.
No, they probably won't be bringing in anybody older than you.
Right.
At least, I guess it's possible, but it would seem weird.
Right. And, I'll add in the whole, if you've been at camp, you've probably heard him more. If you're one of the few hundred who come out here every day.
Yeah.
And that's different from the last 4 years. Again, remember 2016, Paul, what's different about Andy? What's different?
Yeah.
I mean, again, pleasant surprises. I guess that would be one.
Okay. I'll buy that. I guess looking at the totality of camp, my first pleasant surprise would be an obvious one. And along lines of things that we've talked about throughout, and that's the receivers. I mean, Josh Malone, Auden Tate, John Ross, Tyler Boyd. That's a lot of players that you're like, maybe they could, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? And I think all of them have looked ready for prime time.
Yeah. Erickson into that, too.
Not prime time, but maybe 4 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, 4 o'clock. Yeah, they're ready for those 4 o'clock games.
They're ready for the 4 o'clock games. Yeah. No one here is ready for prime time.
I was gonna do it, and then now you did it. Look what you're doing to these people.
That's easy. That's too easy. Come on. Well, win a tilt. All right. I hate to use my famous line, but
remember the last time they were in the playoffs? What happened? Just
win a tilt.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think that, you know, the move. Here's the thing. This is the spiel that I've given about Brandon LaFell that I wrote about Brandon LaFell. Go to the site on Sustain.com. You can see the story about recreating 2013. And people, some people that read the headline and don't read the story, that was strictly about the receiver room. It's not about the entire offense.
Right.
Why are you trying to recreate a team that didn't win a damn thing?
Right.
No, the receiver room. It's about, and if you're going to tell me that you don't want to recreate Green, Jones, Sanu, then I don't really know what to tell you.
Like, right. You've been trying to replace those guys.
13 through 15, yeah. That was arguably the best receiver room in football.
Yeah, yeah, they've been trying to replace those guys.
Exactly.
We've talked about it, Paul. I mean, how much draft capital, the fact that they signed Brandon LaFell and then extended Brandon LaFell, they've been trying to fix this thing for 3 years.
Yes.
So it is kind of nice that to see that group play well.
That's not us talking. That's not the players talking. The team had an insurance policy with it, and it was called the Brandon LaFell insurance policy. Right? They owed him $4 million. They could have pocketed all of that money and let him go back in the spring. We talked about it. Why is he even here, right? How often did you hear that if you listened throughout the offseason to us? They could have pocketed that money. They paid him $1.25 million over the course of these last few months in just him hitting tickers, whatever you want to call them, bonuses,
right?
You know, whatever. And so that was basically them letting him go now is their way of saying we wanted to hold on to him just in case. We have seen enough to let the insurance policy go. Because he set a baseline of just a guy, right?
Yeah.
And they needed to know that not just one guy, but some depth at that position can be better than that and at least has one or two people that are already at least as good. They did that, and I think that is a big sign. Them being willing to do that immediately shows we're good. Them saying we're good here, and we feel like our room is finally doesn't need that. We're not worried about them not being ready. They're ready, and that's what that move meant to me. And I think that's big for the organization to say that. It's not me. It's not the players. It's not the coaches. It's everybody. You now know the truth, how they feel. And they feel that John Ross and Tyler Boyd and Josh Malone need to play.
Yes.
And they are ready to play. And that could mean big things. If you look back to that 2012-2013 season when they basically cleared everybody out and said, we're going to let Green and these young kids, Jones and Sanu, we're going to let them show what they can do. And when they started playing those guys and didn't play Armon Bins and Jerome Simpson go and Brandon Tate was starting the beginning of the 2012 season. I know Bengals fans are like, oh, you're giving me flashbacks. Guess what happened? They won seven of the last eight to close 2012, start 2013 with those guys set as the dudes, set a franchise record for touchdowns passing and yards passing. That is the equation I think that they're hoping they have here. And they might. There's reason to believe that they might by what we've seen.
Yeah, largely because Tyler Boyd, we've seen it to a degree. He looks a little better than he did his rookie year.
Yeah.
And Josh Malone is coming along, and John Ross, and we'll touch on him a little bit in the next part. But I think the other, speaking of young guys kind of doing it, for me, Paul, I think we'll agree on this, Andrew Billings and Ryan Glasgow,
yep,
pleasant surprises.
Can you throw Hubbard in that mix?
I was just about to add in.
Yeah.
Rookie Sam Hubbard, and especially for me on that one, because I know he was a third round pick, Paul, but I guess my bar was really, really low for him and Malik Jefferson, to be honest. Billings flashed at times. We talked about this actually on the sideline, Paul Brown saying the other day, you know, you'd see him in the backfield, and two plays stick out to me, one against Baltimore, one against Tennessee, where he kind of burst into the line on a run play, and then you just watch the guy just run right by him, and he's standing around like, what was I supposed to do back here?
Yeah. what do I do once I'm here?
You know, Ryan Glasgow. Right. He's being, not only is he getting into the backfield, but he is being disruptive and rerouting and getting his hands on guys. Ryan Glasgow, a pleasant surprise in that, you know, he played a lot last year as a rookie, mm-hmm. as Geno's primary backup. But I feel like he's also doing the thing Billings is doing, getting his hands on ball carriers, pushing the pocket, making the quarterbacks move. I would say last year they felt good enough that he could sub for Geno, but he was just kind of like there.
Yeah.
And then Hubbard for sure, Paul. I'll be honest. I mean, strong man of Moeller. I didn't have much faith in him as a pick. I guess I just didn't. I didn't think he would really do much as a rookie, like, on the line. But we've seen him get pressure from the edge. Now they're moving him inside. Mm-hmm. And he's winning inside as, like, a nickel rush. Kind of like, wow, that's what Michael Johnson should be doing. And then, yeah, so I would say those three young guys, various stages, years 3, 2, and 1, kind of standing out.
And that's interesting. I literally had that written down right there as the next thing to say, because the Hubbard thing is interesting. So moving him inside now a little bit and seeing him beat up on Trey Hopkins a little bit today, and we've seen him outside beat up on most everybody at times. I mean, he's still rookie. He's not back there like Lawson was last year, but he's been consistent. It makes you wonder, the move inside is if they're starting to say, is he Michael Johnson, right? And maybe that's Michael Johnson becomes expendable if he is and can be Michael Johnson. And Jordan Willis can start at defensive end. The depth chart came out today for the first time, and it probably not really worth the paper that it's printed on, but it does.
It's there. Yeah.
It is there, and it does have number 90 as the starting right defensive end. And we know, what do we know? We know that this team feels like Jordan Willis did not play enough last year.
Yeah.
We know that Sam Hubbard is a depth rotational defensive line guy. How many of those can you really have?
right
and they're showing out across. I think the defensive line depth is my pleasant surprise in general. Billings, even Baker on the interior, and then you look at Hubbard, who's been good, and Lawson, obviously you know what you have in him. Willis, though, they all have played pretty well. Now maybe you're saying, oh my god, I know where you're going. You're going to the other side, aren't you? The offensive line stinks. We'll get there.
Right.
But so there's a grain of salt with that. But if anybody is going to step in and make you say, maybe we don't need Michael Johnson, it would be Sam Hubbard.
Right.
Particularly if you feel like he can move inside and be effective as a nickel inside rusher, and if he shows that in the preseason.
Yeah.
Which Michael Johnson showing that in the preseason last year is what saved his job.
Right.
Last year.
Right, right. The thing for me with Michael Johnson, Paul, will be, can Jordan Willis and Sam Hubbard prove that they can hold the edge and run downs? Because, you know, Michael Johnson, hey, he's had 5.5 sacks last year. He got in there. He kind of disrupted some things next to Geno. I think there's more explosive options there, because Geno's Geno, and he looks fantastic yet again. So whatever that 30 wall is, he hasn't hit it yet. Looking ahead, is that the one thing Terrell Austin and Marvin Lewis are looking at? Well, we know Michael Johnson can set that edge and be there, because I don't think Carl Lawson has proven that at all.
But Jordan Willis, I think, proved that. Right. They loved his run game on the edge last year.
I guess I'm curious to see if they like, did they love it? Like, did they love it enough to be like,
according
these
to him,
two guys?
I mean, according to him, all of his end of year discussions with coaches and through the offseason, it was, we thought you were really good as a run defender last year.
Okay.
If we were to believe what we hear,
right.
You know, I see better than I hear. Right. But
I guess that's kind of where I'm going with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I do think if you look at, you know, the way he played in his smallish sample size, that I think he did prove that he could handle it. That, you know, and we don't know that Michael Johnson has meant too much to this organization and means to. I mean, he's their man of the year. You will not find anybody more respected and revered inside of that locker room. So
doesn't mean he needs to play.
And that's where I'm going with this, is they would not treat him with, like, in the back of the depth chart.
Right.
Or, like, just throw a guy out there in front of him. He's running with the threes.
Right.
Or the twos. They would give those guys a chance to prove that they can unseat him and give him a proper send-off.
So are you thinking, unlike the receivers then, Jordan Willis and Sam and well, Hubbard I think is still too raw in too many ways. Jordan Willis hasn't done that yet. Unlike Tyler Boyd and John Ross and Josh Malone, who made Brandon LaFell real expendable real fast.
Yes.
So you're saying, because Carl Lawson, I still haven't seen Carl Lawson defend the run at all, really, in this camp. And then, I mean, he's kind of there, but that's not what he's there for.
Yeah. But when you're looking at who those guys are going to be, I mean, look, how many defensive linemen are you going to keep? Nine,
right? Yeah, I'm probably. Thinking. I mean, yeah, I'm thinking nine.
If you're keeping, you know,
I think Andrew Brown. I know you didn't really show great, but then he got this hammy and he's out. So
Andrew
you're
Brown
losing.
Is gonna be the yeah. back of the roster, right. Inactive all year guy. They're not. I don't think they'll let him go, especially if he has injury issues. But when you look at the top eight are set. Now that includes Michael Johnson, but if you know. There's nine with Michael Johnson, and there's 10 with Andrew Brown.
Yeah. I think you did our 53 at Cincinnati.com to start camp. Mm-hmm. When I kind of ran through my own, I had 10 D linemen, and I was keeping Andrew Brown at the start of camp. Like, it's just sort of on my own. So 10. I could see 9 or 10. They've done it before.
Yeah. I mean, and you could, and it makes sense to go.
It could
be an
Andrew
9 and
Brown
6
versus,
behind him.
Right. I mean, it could be an Andrew Brown versus Auden Tate type of thing. This back of the roster is going to be fascinating to watch.
It will be weird because there's so many guys that they right. drafted because they've had so many picks right. the last few years. You know, I just think, you know, if you're
– But you can – I guess that's the thing, Paul, is he can get the first reps and he can start on the depth charts and all those things. But I guess by week one – You know, I don't know. I think we've seen
health.
It. Yeah.
Health in the preseason will right. probably determine.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? I mean, if somebody goes down, you don't.
Yeah, you're right. It's a long way to go before Indianapolis.
Four games worth.
Right.
Because a lot of these guys we're talking about are going to be playing a whole lot of snaps.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a long way to go to make any determinations. But I will say this. It's fair to say he's on the bubble.
I know we said three pleasant surprises. I'll just add a little one because I know there's Carl Lawson. You're curious the one first year, second year jump type of thing, right? People, coaches talk about that a lot. 8.5 sacks a year ago, she had 9.5. William Jackson III gets off the field. Paul, this dude, it's the whole yes, if healthy. He might be, I mean, we're talking about WJ3 being an all pro. Carl Lawson looks like a dude that's going to have 14 sacks.
Yeah, I know.
It's. And this is not an indictment of the Bengals offensive line.
He did it to everybody he was against.
And he looks so much better.
Yeah, he's so ripped.
He's
strong because he's so dedicated to working out. I mean, he his body is almost – and he remember we had him on BTS last year and joked about, like, where the hell do you lift weights? Like,
right.
How do you do it? And he is noticeably bigger from that last year. And I think it shows.
Yeah.
I think it has shown on the field.
Yeah. And he, Cordy Glenn, real quick, you know, a guy who's been in this league long enough to block a lot of people. He's like, Carl's got this super fat. He's super fast. He's super strong. And then he added that he's got the motor. And it sounds cliche to say, but Cordy's like, you know, I play these dudes. They don't all have a motor.
Mm-hmm.
They don't all have, like, the real strong guys can't get around like this, dude. I don't know. I mean, if he's I was a little skeptical last year on this guy, Paul, when he came in, and he proved me wrong with his size and staying healthy and beating dudes and making Joe Thomas, like, think about retirement.
Yeah.
Like,
Trent Williams in the preseason.
Hey, get the hype train rolling, man, because it's – It's been impressive.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's play an impromptu fun game. How far are we in here? 23 minutes? All right. So in 2015, I hate to, I know everyone's like, why do you always talk about this? In 2015, they sent seven guys.
They were good that year. That's why.
They were good that year. So, yeah. So if they're going to recreate that, they sent seven guys to the Pro Bowl. And this is a star league. You need stars.
You do.
And I don't think they've had enough stars the last few years. Because it's always been like, oh, the coaches suck. They're so talented. Oh, yeah. Remember, it was, where's the talent?
Talent, right. Yeah, we did. We asked that question. Yeah.
Where are the stars? You're overrating the talent. Find me seven Pro Bowlers. If things go well for this team, who would be the seven Pro Bowlers? How about I'll roll them off real quick in my just off the top of my head here. Obviously, you know a couple. AJ and Geno, because they're there every year. I think AJ, Geno, Joe Mixon would need to be a Pro Bowler. I'm not going to go Eifert yet, but I may bring him in later because I don't think he needs to be a Pro Bowler for them to make it, but that would sure be nice.
Right.
William Jackson, for sure.
Yep.
I may throw – I'd consider throwing Quez in that mix, but I'm not going to just yet. Give me Fedge.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just going to throw a specialist.
Yeah. When they've been good, they've had a specialist in the Pro Bowl.
Pierman and Pacman went in 2015 as a returner.
And he was close. Now that he's kind of knocked on that door as the alternate, he's on everyone's radar in that regard.
I have five. Here's the question I'll pose. Does Tez need to be a Pro Bowler for this team to take the step? Win the North.
Here's the interesting thing about that. I think he can play to that level, but not get in.
Does he need the. Yeah, that's. Let's take politics out of it.
So politics out of it.
Politics out of it. Play at a Pro Bowl level. PFF Pro Bowler. How about that? Dudes, just watching the plays, not go to the Pro Bowl. I mean, does he?
Yes, because
I'm talking about team composition here. Does he need to be that guy?
Yes, because that to me is still a there's issues at that position group.
I would agree because that position group does not have enough. Without him.
Yeah.
So that'd be six.
We haven't gotten to 96. It's been there two straight years.
Carl.
And Carl Lawson. 58.
I would not.
We're not even talking about the quarterback.
I'm saying Carl and not Carl. So yeah, we're not talking about the quarterback. He needs to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's been the three.
He has
and
been
then
the three.
In his best year, they didn't let him in even after 12 games. So yeah.
Yeah, so we don't even need – yeah, you don't need Eifert. Dalton needs to be in there.
Yeah.
So on offense, you would have Mixon, Dalton, and AJ.
That's about right.
And the line needs to be solid.
Yeah.
For sure. But I'm saying that those guys probably won't be Pro Bowl worthy if the line isn't solid.
Right.
And then I would say Lawson, Atkins, Burfict, William Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's –
And then, you're right about Fedge, right?
That is not an unrealistic ask.
No, because they all, other than William Jackson, the Thurman, Carl Lawson, and Mixon, other than the three, quote-unquote, young guys, all of those guys either are already Pro Bowlers, or in the case of Clayton Fedgelum, essentially one already.
On the list. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's history.
Yeah, I think it. To me those are the most important guys that at the end of the year you need to say this is what our team hung our hat on.
Right.
Was those guys. Stars.
But, right. The three young guys are definitely the ones that'll be to watch. You know, and we mentioned you mentioned AJ Green and we talked about the receivers. To me, Paul, when we talk about the downs, there's caveats to these for me. John Ross has been a down. In that everything, he's a down because everything else about him has been an up. And what I mean by that is A, he's healthy. He looks fantastic in terms of his body. He has said he's in shape. He looks so fast. He's running sharp routes. He is getting open. He's beating William Jackson and Darquez Dennard and Drake Kirkpatrick. And no one can cover him. And then he drops the ball. I mean, you know, there's the cloud with the little lining that's not so good. It's so good, and that's why it's a down for me thus far.
Yeah, because, you know, when you play like DeSean Jackson, if that's who you are supposed to be, How many opportunities do you get where you break over the safety and you're wide open and the ball just is one there?
Or
you
know, two.
If you catch 10 touchdowns a year.
Which is a huge number.
Let's say you catch 10 touchdowns, like DeSean Jackson, one of his better seasons. Yeah. How many of those were of 30 yards plus? Half, right? Maybe half. That's five balls. If you drop half of those.
Yeah.
Those are killers. You can't drop those. And we've seen him drop two would-be touchdowns in the last few days.
Yeah.
And that's not getting into something that's been sort of a lingering thing throughout camp. So I agree. The drops, it takes this guy who can be so great, and it makes you wonder, is this going to be what dogs his entire career?
Yeah. It wasn't part of his profile coming out of Washington. Drops. Right? I don't really remember that as being part of the John Ross conversation of why people did
health
or
was didn't like
health.
Said.
So this it could just be a mental thing, Paul. I mean, we got into that at Cincinnati.com, like the issues he kind of had to work through last year.
Yeah.
And maybe this is part of that, is like continuing to, okay, I'm healthy, I'm good, catch the ball. So
especially
we'll see.
when he breaks himself so wide open.
I mean, that's the thing. So for me, I think that's a correctable issue for him.
Yeah.
But to date, that would be on a down
and
list.
And obviously they're going to say this, but on and off the record, some people in the organization I've talked to about this, and there doesn't seem to be much concern that because what you said, that's never really been part of his profile.
Yeah.
So why all of a sudden would that be a thing? But we saw it throughout the offseason.
Yeah.
We saw, and we've definitely seen it in camp, and we'll see what we see when the games kick up. Okay, biggest concern for me has to be the offensive line. I am not buying this thing. Are you buying any of this? I am not buying any of this.
I guess I'll be a slightly more positive to go with this. Here's the thing. Even with the beloved Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler in 2016, this line has been so bad for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it was so awful from the beginning, the first day. It has not been that awful.
Remember camp last year?
Yes. Oh,
they couldn't even run plays.
No, they couldn't run plays. So they can run plays.
They
can run plays. So where I was going to go with that, Paul, and I'll let you take it from here. For me, my down for the line was no one at right guard, no one at right tackle, or even Clint Bowling to a little lesser degree, has reached out and been like, this is my job, I'm great, this is fantastic. Like, I think it's been okay compared to, because I am comparing it to last year. It's been okay compared to last year, but the down is, I don't feel like, other than Cordy Glenn, to be honest, the four other ones, no one's reached out and been like, this is, I am the man. I am the best, and I am by far and away the best guy in camp at my spot, other than the left tackle. So that's my down there, but I think as a group, they can run offense, and frankly, that's better than they were a year ago.
I would agree, but that's through the wall. Let's be better than that trash heap that we were. The bar has to be higher.
We
were sold that the bar is higher.
And they committed a lot.
They gave up what they gave up. Nine spots in the first round for these two guys. And the one, I still am okay with the deal. But, we've talked all offseason about how they kind of stopped there and they didn't continue. And they're bringing, trying this like reclamation Bobby Hart project, who's now at the top of your depth chart and just gets beat handily too often.
I think that's a mental play.
Jake Fisher has just been bad.
It's been shocking how bad he's been. Yeah.
I mean, Cedric Oboye, he might be your most consistent guy.
Oh, he just drove off the road, Paul.
Well, this is where we're at. that's my point.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I don't see him being some different guy. I
think
you're going to get Cedric Oboye being who he is, and I think he might be your best option out there
at this point,
and you're going to put him next to, at right guard, somebody who I don't even know who the best option is, but the bottom line is nobody has taken that job. No one has asserted themselves, it's just...
Yeah, I think where we're at before the first preseason game, and this could all change Thursday.
Sure.
This can all definitely change in Dallas by the third game. But as of now, the sum is greater than the parts. If you're going to look for, like, please, guys, tell me something. meaning they can run offense, and meaning I think Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard are going to make them look good when maybe they shouldn't sometimes. Cedric Obwehi, you know, it hasn't been – when he's at right tackle this year, hasn't been the turnstile that we've seen so far. The guards are eh. You know, because it's the same guys as Trey Hopkins, Alex Redmond, Christian Westerman.
And Westerman is, you know, with the sickness he had where he lost like 12 pounds, yeah. And I think that set him back. I don't think he has his strength, near yeah. his strength back. We haven't seen him out there a yeah. whole lot.
And Billy Price has got stuff going on.
Billy Price with the snap stuff. And he's getting so, beat too.
Yeah, and so he's, you know, he don't want to talk to anybody now because, you know, he hasn't been a raging success from day one, so he's a little hurt about that, being asked about those questions.
No, he stuck out like a green thumb. Yeah. They can't talk about run offense.
Yeah.
They can't even get the ball to the center half the time. So.
I'll agree with you. Although at least they're able to function as an offensive unit and move the ball. Whereas a year ago this time that was not happening.
Yeah. I'm really curious. Number one thing I will be watching against the Bears is how this line holds
up.
Such
a downer. You're such a downer, Paul. Paul Downer Jr. is back.
I'm back, baby. I'm back. Look, I call him as I sees him, all right?
What I see is
because we were sold, we fixed it, and we got this new coach, and he's going to revitalize the old guys who are bad and make them good, and we got these other guys who are pretty good, and we're going to make them be good, and we're all going to be good, and we fixed it. Right, we didn't need to keep going after people. We fixed it. We got it. Well, I don't think you have it, I don't think that they have enough to get them to be on the same level with the Steelers, which is what this is about, right? Right.
Yes.
Isn't that what we're talking about? Yep. Is winning this division and reasserting yourself?
Yeah, you got to get a bye, and that's what that means.
Yeah,
well, beating definitely. Pittsburgh. So,
you know, I just mean that's the level that they need to get to if they want to do anything.
And there's plenty of time, I guess. Like if you're looking for the nice linings around the cloud. But yeah, they need rapid improvement. I would say in the next 2 weeks.
And there's no depth. So,
right. I mean, we're talking. These are the guys.
These are the guys. So. You know, you better hope. So, to me, that is my number one biggest concern. Is I don't feel like we've seen it. And hey, give Frank Pollock time to earn his paycheck because he's got to see what he's seen and fix it and figure out who those guys are and make them mesh. But it's all a new system, guys that will have hardly played together and maybe aren't that great in the first place.
Right.
That's a recipe for you better hope it doesn't start like it started last year when they started 0-3 and dudes got fired.
my other down was kind of a surprise. And I guess, you know, if I was smart and projecting, I could have given everyone a heads up on this. I'm going to go overall secondary as a disappointment thus far, Paul. I mean, you're only as good as your worst. I think their best is really good with William Jackson III. I think Darquez Denard is covered really well. But I'll be honest. I mean, Dre's Dre. We know what Dre is. He's not any better or any worse than that. A couple good picks. Safeties, they were challenged by Marvin Lewis in this front office by entertaining Kurt Coleman, Eric Reed. They draft Jesse Bates III. They're okay. I've seen 43 and 36 running behind guys, chasing them. And then after that, Jesse Bates III, he's gotten first-team reps. I haven't noticed number 30 at all.
I
haven't seen a PBU. I haven't seen interception.
Mm-hmm.
Corners, Darius Phillips, Devontae Harris, these rookies, nope, you're in a lot of trouble if they're playing. Josh Shaw, not any better than he was a year ago, and that wasn't very good. I mean, maybe the only highlight in the back end of that room, Brandon Wilson. The rookie from a year ago, who didn't have this opportunity last year because of a knee injury. I mean, Fedge is solid. Fedge is your solid, like,
plug-in.
Yeah. I mean, his role is special teams, and he's a, like, you could put him in back there, and he's not going to mess it up. You know, but I knew there were issues with linebacking core, Paul. I guess I thought the overall secondary would be a little stronger, but if your three corners get hurt, you're screwed, and your safeties are kind of like, I don't know if they've risen to the challenge yet.
And CJ Goodwin's here now.
Yeah.
You know, and that tells you what you need to know.
Right.
They made the call, and the call wasn't to Adam Jones.
Right.
It was to CJ Goodwin to come in and be a guy with a little bit of a track record and maybe who could figure something out maybe. Here.
Because the other guys are hurt, but Tony McCray and Sojourn Shelton, not really proven guys. So,
gun to your head prediction, Adam Jones is on this roster opening day.
Yes.
Yes.
I largely due to injury. I think
someone's going to get dinged.
I mean, two guys already are dinged.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the top three is
going to get dinged. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Even a slight ding should scare the crap out of them.
It should.
Because they have nothing behind
them. Right.
Nothing.
The only thing, it's not the same defense. If this was still Paul Gunther, for sure. I think they want someone maybe who's running a little, I mean, it's a different language. I mean, for what it's worth, Adam is a smart football player.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of that stuff, understanding schemes and calls, yes, I get all the rest of it. But yeah, I think it's just so thin, Paul. It's so thin already.
It is.
And those top three have a long track record of not being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They all get little minor. William missed the whole year, but last year he wasn't totally healthy either.
Yeah. Were we optimistic, or do you think that came across pessimistic? I think we were right down the middle. I think we praised pretty heavily, and we went after the issue.
Because here's the thing, and I think if you're a Bengals fan and you're a smart football fan, you were able to see something in that. This is, and tell me if you see this too. For the issues that we had, it wasn't like, oh my God, dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, most teams depend on health. But like, let's say the lights go on and Alex Redmond and Christian Westerman do some things against a Bears front seven that's actually pretty good, right? And all of a sudden you feel a little better about that. What if, you know, Jesse Bates III in live action, and he actually gets more reps, shows you the things we were told. You know what I mean? Like, I think the things
so
that,
much to see.
I still. Think the things that we're concerned about or disappointed in have those. As I was telling you when we started this, like, it's like the cloud. There is a silver lining around the pessimism. And there should be pessimism. I mean, they're not the defending Super Bowl champions. They missed the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of work to do for them to get to where win now, yep. where they want to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's only fair, but I think they're not that far away from maybe looking really good.
Yeah. It was fun. I looked, and this is sort of like a little mini degenerate corner here, but if we were placing a bet of – how many snaps? Because they're playing 5-on-7 today.
Right.
And it was Joe Mixon, yep. A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, John Ross, and Tyler Eifert with Dalton playing. Yeah. And you look at that and you say, all right.
Right.
Like, this is something here. This is something. How many snaps will those guys play together this year? If you listen to BBP and you think you've got an answer, fire it over to
us.
Hop into the degenerate corner here and let us know what you think. There's a good chance it could be zero.
Yeah.
All those guys have history of stuff. Yeah. And it's just there's so much depending on that. But if they could keep it, and that's the if, right?
Yeah.
If they could keep that group together and you can get some sort of mediocre play out of your offensive line, that is a talented offense.
Yes.
It can be absolutely scary. Okay. Quick shout out to 50 West Brewing Company, in case you have not been down there. It's prime season for them. There's volleyball leagues, the canoeing's going on, kayaking,
They're still doing penny flips. They've got all kinds of beers on tap. They're expanding. They're canning down. It's just going nuts.
Bobby's super optimistic.
Bobby's super optimistic. Yeah, and don't worry, he'll be back. He'll be back before you know it. We get closer to the season. But anyway, you got to make sure you head down there. It is just a great time every single night in the summer. The garage doors are open. They've got their new upstairs patio that's fantastic. Get down there to 50 West. Have a couple of delicious beers. Have a coast to coast on me. And, you know, as always, always love 50 West. Everything they do for us. Get down there. Have yourself a couple of pops. Or just pick it up in Kroger if you live in the Cincinnati area. Always can pick that up in there now. Punch You in the IPA now in Kroger as well. Don't drink and drive on that one. Right. 9.2%.
Or kayak or canoe.
Yeah, of course. All right, three questions time.
Yep.
So I've got, let's start off with this one from @Loffman Mike. How often will the defense play three safeties? Now, this is a trendy thing happening across the league now. And, you know, sort of these few conversations about this topic actually with some of the coaches on this team. It was sort of, you know, I think that trend is for a lot of teams that don't have a lot of good corners.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if you with this team, when this team has the three top corners that they have, there's no reason for them to play three safeties that often.
Right.
Because they've got a really good slot corner. If your third safety is going to be your drop down nickel guy, you could do that. But if they have those three guys, Darquez is really good at tackling and really good against the run, and I think you're more than okay with that. I don't think we're going to see a ton of three safeties unless they get themselves positionally into a problem like we talked earlier where they start to see some depth issues you know, at that corner position.
Yeah, I don't – honestly, I don't have much to add beyond that because I do – I think it's if it's – you're rolling out 21, 27, 22 for 16 games. Maybe in some very special situations, dime, you might want Jesse Bates the third out there instead of Josh Shaw or Kavari Russell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so that'll be technically three safeties. But you're right. If the top three corners are healthy, I just don't think why would you want that? Unless, again, it's weird things. Maybe you like Sean Williams coming off a blitz and you want Jesse Bates back there to create a look. I mean, there's some exotic things, but if you're talking about on a regular basis, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Probably spells more trouble than
they did some good of that with Paul Gunther. I just don't think we'll see as much of that from him this year. Okay, moving on @JHN Sports. Kentucky Dude, one of our favorite followers. We have a lot of good conversations with us, which, by the way, appreciate everybody that follows us on Twitter. Yes. I hope that you're following us on Twitter @PaulInger Jr. And @JimMozarski. So Kentucky Dude asks about Bengals comps for Carl Lawson. So back through Bengals history, like if there's any comp. And I was going to say, I have two things to say on this. I'll say one and I'll let you say something.
Sure.
And I'll come back. I don't know that there are many comps for him.
He's
very much a new school player that they have refused to ever draft in the past or tried to draft in the past and done it poorly.
Right.
You know, he is a very different type of guy and that they have not – they've kind of been too nervous to get.
To just
do it.
Exactly. You know, Mar – is this a case of Mar finally getting out of his own way? Like, you know, he'll sit up here on the podium and say, I don't want to do comparisons. You know, he says, I don't want to compare. And then he'll talk about, like, Peter Boulware and who was the other guy?
David Pollock.
And there's a Steelers guy. I'm forgetting his name.
James Harrison.
Yeah, no, I'm old dude. I'm forgetting. Not Greg Lloyd or Green. There's the other one I'm forgetting. Whatever. Like, I think that's maybe Carlos is not a linebacker. Whatever they list them as, finally, I guess that's the one change is that they got him on the D line on the depth chart instead of linebacker. He hasn't done any of that, thankfully. Maybe he's just out of his own way. Maybe they finally realize, you know what? He's just an undersized, quote unquote, defensive end. Go get it.
Who
is a necessary component of any team in this league these days.
Go get
it. When everyone throws all the time, you need a guy who's out there. I mean, situational pass rusher is playing 70% of the snaps. Gino didn't play 70% of the snaps last year.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. That's
I think he is very unique in that regard.
Comps, real comps, though, is the guy who had one of the biggest plays in the Super Bowl last year. That's Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
He's been a comp that a lot of Bengals scouts had from coming out, and I think he plays just like him.
Yeah.
And go ahead and look at Brandon Graham's career, and I think everyone in Cincinnati would be pretty thrilled if it ended up like that. All right, off the beaten path. I got two of these, so let's do two quick hits because okay. I want to do both of them. First one from at Geta, best breed of dog.
Oh, I'm going to go one that you can actually get or just the one that I like as the best breed?
Whatever you want.
The Polish sheepdog, the Tatra.
The Polish sheepdog?
The of Czarczyk. It's, yes, it is spelled almost like our last name.
Yeah.
Instead of a ski, it ends, yeah, it's huge. Google it. Tatra.
Yeah.
Polish Tatra.
That's awesome. Like the big fluffy dog, right?
Well, they're not actually fluffy. They kind of could look fluffy. They're just monstrous and white and big.
Treeing Walker Coonhound, because that's what my dog is.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. With 12.5% Chow Chow and 12.5% Golden, because that's exactly what my little rescue dog is.
Look at you.
Uncle Phil's the man. All right. In honor of playing the Bears Thursday, this from at Going John B, John Brossert. In honor of playing the Bears Thursday, best Chicago food establishment. This is right up your alley as a Chicago guy.
Wow.
So best Chicago. I have mine. I'll talk about mine. You can think about it because you've got much more experience than I do.
I wasn't quite ready for that.
I know. So it's big time. It's big time. I'm going to say Lou Malnati's, and I don't know if if that's kind of like going chalk. It's sort of standard. I love Lou Malnati's. Of all the pizzas, the deep dish stuff, Lou Malnati's, I think, is far and away the best, in my opinion. So I'm going with them.
Okay, so I'm a burger guy.
Yeah.
So, like, I really like cheeseburgers and burgers and specialty burgers. So I'm gonna say Kuma's Corner. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Like, it's heavy metal themed. I'm definitely way out of place walking in there.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. The food is great. Get ready to wait in line for a long time. But it's that good.
A place where you have to wait in line for a long
time? See, I could have went Billy Goat's. You know what I mean? Like, the journalist and the cheeseburger and Coke. Like, that's kind of... But you gotta be kind of a nerd, I guess. Like, unless you like SNL and Jim Belushi. Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I got you.
But I'm gonna go Kuma's Corner just because that's a little off the beaten path, I guess.
That's like for Chicago Insider, right there. Chicago Insider. All right. Well, thanks to everybody for all of your questions. Keep firing them back at us, and we will shout you out and go through your questions every single week. Okay. Why are you mad?
Okay. I won't rail on this one too much because it's really. I mean, it's self-explanatory. So when you're on 17 in Northern Kentucky, there's a sign.
Welcome back to the car with Jim.
Yeah, there's a sign. It's a sign. It's a road sign that says congested area. So that means it's always congested because it's a metal sign. Under it, 125 miles.
Wow.
What is that?
It's a long way.
That guy, I've driven past this, and I see it all because it's a giant metal road sign congested area. It catches your attention, and then it says 125 miles. There's no other sign other than, that says get off now than that. I don't even know what that means.
Get off now. That's like I was talking the other day, is you never want to look down at your Google Maps and it says if you get on here, it is 59 minutes slower than if you go straight. Oh, no. Right? That's...
I guess it makes me more confused than mad, but it was... I don't even understand that.
I don't know. Anybody that has some experience with that, please feel free to share that. We need to know. We need to know what's going on there. You know what's making me happy is... ENQ Bengals is fire right now.
Look at that. Yeah.
Boom.
You are very excited. All your followers out there, you're making Paul so happy.
You are. I appreciate it. I'm trying. Every single year I have said we need to really ramp up the Instagram account. It's there. We've not been good at keeping up with it. But this year I am dedicated.
You are.
And I'm trying to make it great and make it the best darn Instagram account you've ever seen. And it's hot. We're doing a live queue. We're doing like a Q&A with George Iloka now. We've been doing these Instagram lives every single day. I'm filling up the stories with all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah. You're really good at the little badges or whatever they call them.
I don't know. I'm just trying to learn. Lindsay's my muse.
Dr. She's Patterson, like, she's doing it.
She's trying to teach me how it all works. Yeah. So I'm not like a superstar at it or anything, but I did make a green vomit emoji thing over the Bengals linebacker picks. but anyway, so there's lots of stuff. I want, you know, if you listen to the BBP and you want even more background on the BBP and you're on Instagram, which I think most people are, ENQ Bengals, go and give us a follow and you get lots of good behind the scenes stuff we'll have there. Join the following team. We love all y'all. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening to the BBP. We will be back after the Bears game, our first ever post game BBP, the quick walkout. So we'll have that for you. So make sure you check in on your podcast app after the game, and we'll try to get that up there for you. And hopefully, if you have any suggestions on that, feel free to fire them to us. But I think it's going to be this is a product of your suggestions. So we're happy to do that for you. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.